in Awali Kutman is the big ones. It's on Daf Kuf Aleph Hamer Aleph, page 201, the right side column, the bottom paragraph on the column. And the major topic in this Torah, Rabbeinu Zal is talking about the topic of chemdas mamon, the topic of desiring the money of another person or items that pertain to another person. Okay, until now we had presented the problem pretty much in all of its parts. The problem of desiring another person's money, Rabbeinu Zal said how that could chas v'shalom take away that person's children, chas v'shalom, it could take away the person's wife, it could cause all kinds of catastrophes, Rahman al-Islam. Now Rabbeinu Zal said that a person who desires the money of another person, even if he doesn't steal money from that person at all, the fact that he has a chemda for another person's money, that makes his own money stolen money. That puts a stigma of stolen on his own money. In other words, his own paycheck that he collects from his boss at work, when he brings that home, that money is called mamon gozel, literally. Although he didn't take anything from anybody, the fact that he has a chemda for another person's money makes his own money a bechin of mamon gezula. Rabbeinu Zal shows here. And Rabbeinu Zal brought the proof from the Gemara regarding hachishev l'shleich yad b'pikodim. There's a machlokes in the Gemara whether he's chayev to pay back. And Rabbeinu Zal emphasizes that the machlokes is only whether he's chayev to pay monetarily. But everybody admits that there has been an isur committed in somebody wanting to touch something that belongs to somebody else. The wanting alone is a definite isur, Rabbeinu Zal shows here. And Rabbeinu Zal emphasized one of the Aseres HaDibro is called Leisachmoid, which in a sense people play it down. Rabbeinu Zal in this Torah is emphasizing it to the highest degree conceivable. Now Rabbeinu Zal is going to discuss how a person could purify his money once his money is tainted in this manner. In other words, what if a person up to the point that he learned this item had this type of chemda chas v'shalom, and he has this money now in his own property that's tainted, and he wants to purify it, what does he do? Rabbeinu Zal says, v'da, and you should know, she'al yidei tzedaka yuchal l'sakein mamon gzeila she'esh lo, that through giving tzedaka, a person can correct stolen money that he has. And note, in other words, we emphasize very much, Hainu, shegozloi al yedei chemda. We're not talking about literal stolen money. We're talking about money that was stolen through a desire. By desiring another person's money, you put a stigma of stolenness on your own money.
I
had wanted to start from that paragraph. Okay. Rabbeinu Zal says, "Vehine lefa'omim at times, hagazlon hu bebechinas memayis beishes neurim, v'chaymed eishes chaveiroi kanal." We had said that when a person steals the money of another person, it shows a desire for that person's wife, because the money comes from the wife. And Rabbeinu Zal said that the two usually go together. A person who steals money, sometimes it could cause the person's wife to be drawn to him. Rabbeinu Zal had discussed that whole item elaborately. Now Rabbeinu Zal points out one more point regarding this item. V'hinei lefa'amim at times hagazlan hu bebechinas memayis eishes ne'urim v'chaymed eishes chaveroi kanal. There is a term called eishes ne'urim, which means a person's zivig from his youth, like, in other words, the zivig that was appointed to him originally, his original zivig, which the term that's used many times in the Gemara is eishes ne'urim, because at times it's a girl whom somebody grew up with. It's that type of term that's used, eishes ne'urim. So Rabbeinu Zal says there are times when, due to this whole concept of what's going on here, the person begins to dislike his eishes ne'urim, his zivig, v'chaymed eishes chaveiroi, and he begins to develop a desire for the wife of his friend. Ulfa amim reitze b'shneihem, at times, rachmona letzlan, the person doesn't lose the desire for his own eishes ne'urim, he simply takes on a desire for another woman, an additional one. Rabbeinu Zal says, she'reitze es mamaynai, he wants his own money, v'chofetz gam b'shel chaveiroi, and he also wants his friends. V'ze b'chinas machnis tzora b'seich beisai, this concept also exists regarding women, In other words, this concept of wanting your own money and somebody else's, we see a similar concept by women taking in two wives. There is a case in the Torah of Yibum where a person takes in an additional wife. That wife is called a tzara because generally there's conflict between the two wives. So that's the concept of taking a tzara into one's house. V'hanovi hizrauze, and the Novi in Malachi warns about this. K'mo shekosev, as the pasuk says, u'be'eshes ne'urayich al tivgoid. Don't push away your eshes ne'urayich, your zivig, the one which is appointed for you. Ki sone, if you dislike her, shalach, send her away. In other words, leisivgoid means don't commit any crimes against her. If you have an eshes ne'urim, a girl who you married at a young age, you married her, and you have this girl in your house, she's the eshes ne'urim, and you dislike her. Al tivgoid, I'm looking for a different word. Don't betray. Don't commit any act against her. Simply, imsonei shalach. If you dislike her, send her out. You're required to give a get rather than to make her life miserable, chas v'shalom, to cause her life to be destroyed. Now, Rabbein Ezal interprets this pasuk in a different manner completely. Rabbein Ezal says, u'be'eshes nureyach al tivkoi kisonei shalach hakavono. Rabbein Ezal says, you know what this pasuk is referring to? Im ein dai lecho b'chalkecho, if a person doesn't have enough with his own, and you dislike your own money, meaning not that you want to throw it out, you dislike the absence of money, you're satisfied with what you have, you simply want more. Alkain, you know what the solution to this problem is? Shalach. Hainu, shetase takono leze. You should make a takona for this. How? Shetitein tzedaka, by giving tzedaka. Shehi bechinas shlach. The act of giving tzedaka is referred to in the Torah by the word shlach. How do we see this? K'mo shekosev, as the famous pasuk says in Koheles, shlach lachmecha al pnei hamayim, send out your bread on the waters because it'll come back to you. So we see that the concept of tzedaka is hinted to in this word shalach. So Rabbein Ezal says now that this is what the pasuk is referring to here. If a person finds himself in this predicament, where he has a situation where he doesn't like his own wife, meaning he isn't satisfied with his own money, he wants another one, you know what the etza for that situation is? Giving tzedakah. Rabbein Ezal says, "Kamo yishom razal," as the Gemara says in Gittin, "Imroya odam shemizaynay sed mitzumtzamim." If a person sees that he's having a problem with parnosa, his parnosa is bitzimtzum. The Gemara says, "You know what the solution is? Give out a little more money. Get rid of some of your money." Meaning, yasamehem tztaka. The Gemara says, "Give tztaka." If you see that you're suffering from lack of money, you know what you should do? Increase your lack. That's the tikkun. How? Give a little tztaka, bitzimtzum, that has the power to make a tremendous harchava. Rabbein Ezal says, kima shem ezaynos of mitzumtzamim, generally, when a person finds himself having parnosa bedeichik, hu machmas his gabrus haklipois al hanefesh, bechinas nukva. It's because of the fact that the klipois are being misgaber on the nefesh, in quotes, which is the nukva, in quotes, which is symbolized by the wife. We said that the wife is the mokar of all money. The parnosa comes through her, the shefa comes through her. So if a person finds that the parnosa is bedeichik, it means that the klipois are attacking either the person's wife or the nefesh, which is the life within the person. The nefesh is the lowest madrego, which is the bechina of nukva within the person. So Rabbein Ezal says, bebechinas ragleho yordos moves. As we see, the pasuk says that the feet go down into moves, meaning that the klipois attack the feet, which is the nukva, the lowest part. Validation is gabre ma klipois oleho, and because the klipois are being misgaber against her, they draw from her, umechasre moira, they subtract from her light. That's what causes a deficiency in money to the family. But when a person gives tzedakah, that causes the opposite of ragleho yordos moves. You know what it causes? Tzedakah tatzil mimoves. Tzedakah rescues from moves. What does it rescue? The raglayim, the nukva, the malchus, the nefesh, that which the Klipos were trying to draw down, trying to be Yainik from, Tzedakah rescues that from the possession of the Klipos. Through tzedakah, it's possible for a person to be misaking his money, which is the concept of eishes neura, and to be zeche, not to be boigeid in his wife, not to harm her, not to commit any crime against her. This is what the pasuk means. Kisane, when a person has this situation where he hates his wife, meaning he has this predicament, this problem regarding parnosa, this deficiency in the light of the nukva, you know what the solution is? Shalach. Shlach lach machal pnei amoyim, giving tzedakah, that's what's the ticken for this item. Meaning, Rabbi Nezal says that if a person has money in his possession that's stolen, not through physical means, not through a physical act of stealing, chas v'shalom, Rabbi Nezal is going to address that in a minute. We're talking here about a geneva that came through chemda, a spiritual type of geneva. Rabbi Nezal, this paragraph is introducing the ticken as being tzedakah, the act of giving tzedakah. Now, in the next paragraph, Rabbi Nezal is going to explain a little more. 1 minute. If anybody has any questions, wait. Rabbi Nezal says, "V'da, you should know, shall yidei tzedakah yuchal lesakein mamon zela sheyeshloi, haynu shegozloi al yidei chemda." Through tzedakah, a person can correct stolen money that he has, meaning stolen money that was stolen through desire. Kigzela mamish ein lo tikin ad sheyoshives hagzela. Certainly, physical stolen money, there's no way to correct that other than physically giving back the money. V'cheinim gozales harabim, a question that's brought in the Gemara, that's brought in Shulchan Aruch LaHalacha, that if a person suddenly wakes up at age 18 or 25 and he reminds himself that at one point in time he took money, that he took from money that belonged to a tzibur, how do you ever correct that? You don't know how proportionately to give it back. The solution that's brought in the Gemara and in Shulchan Aruch LaHalacha is, lastly, is Bahamomoin Shegozal Tsarchi Rabin, that he's required al Pihalacha, if he knows the sum of money that's involved, he's required to take that sum of money from his own pocket and use it for Tsarchi Rabin, meaning for a tzibur, like give it to a shul, something that would go for a public. That's how he corrects money that was stolen from a tzibur. So that's all money that was physically stolen. Avlin Yeshlein Momoin Zeila Yidechem Dukanaon. But if a person has in his possession money that's gzela by way of chemda, it has this stigma of a gzela on it. Ze yochel esakein al yidei tzedakah. That can be corrected through ordinary tzedakah. In other words, not tzorchi tzibur, tzedakah, any kind of tzedakah. Rabbi Nezal says, shal yidei tzedakah yiskayin kach. Through tzedakah, he can accomplish this, meaning, haynu sheyiskayim etzlei mamaynoi af shehi shel gzeila yidei chemda. He can see to it that the money that he has, which is stolen money through chemda, should have a kiyum by him, and it shouldn't be taken away from him. How? By giving tzedakah from that money, that's how he can see to it that this money should have a kiyum and should have a tikkun. Rav Enazal explains now, v'zeh shom razal, this is what the Gemara says in Kiddushin, al posuk, on the posuk which says, v'yeshev mitzareif u'metar kesef, there'll come a time when Hashem will sit and purify the silver, the tiher es b'nei Levi, and he will purify the shevet Levi, v'zike goysom kazoho v'chakesef, he will purify them. Lezakek and Mitletzarif are all terms regarding purification of metal. Hashem will purify the Shevet Levi, Kazoho v'chakesev, like gold and silver. V'hoyu l'Hashem magishe mincho b'tzdokor. And they will be to Hashem those who present presents in tzdokor, charity. This is what the Pasuk says, and the Gemara says over there in Kiddushin, Tzedakah also HaKadosh Baruch Hu al Mishpacho Shenitmo Nitmo, that Kaviyochel Lo Sidlovoi, Hashem will do a charity that those Mishpachos which got mixed up, in other words, whether there are Mamzerim mixed in, things that we don't know about, if they got mixed up to the extent where it can't be undone, Hashem will do a charity to them, and that Hashem will say, they're mixed up, v'mikstah, finished. And Hashem will be, accept them all within the Kahal Hashem. This is what the Gemara says there in Kiddushin. Rabbi Nizal says now, Hainu, and the Gemara says there, how, what's pshat they got mixed up? They got mixed up through money items, through transactions, through acts of tzedakah. They got mixed into the mainstream of Bnei Yisrael. The Gemara says, Kaviyachal Hashem will forego, and Hashem will allow them to remain within Bnei Yisrael. This is what the Gemara refers to over there in Kiddushin. So now Rabbi Nizal says, Hainu, this, what this implies is that al yidei tzedakah nistakein hagzeilo shehu bechinas mishpocho shenitmo. Through tzedakah is corrected this concept of gzeilo, which we discussed, which is a concept of a mixed up family, where this person wants the other person's wife and he has a hold on the person's wife. That whole item gets its tikkun through tzedakah. That mishpacha shenitmo nitmo, meaning Rabbi Nizal says, ki hu bechinas goyzel nefesh bonav ubnoisa v'noitileish his chaver kanal. We had said before that a person who desires the money of his friend, it's as though he chas v'shalom steals the nefesh of his children and of his wife chas v'shalom. Al kain hu bechinas mishpacha shel taruvois. So that family develops a type of stigma of taruvois. It's mixed. Because this gazlan has a hold on it. This person who has a chemda on their money has a hold on them. And they have, the husband has a hold on this wife and children. So that family is a type of mishpacha me'urava, mixed up. Vayidei tzedakah mistakein she'iskayin kach. Tzedakah can accomplish that this family should have a kiyum. In other words, although it is mixed up, although there is this problem, it should still be able to exist with the problem, which is the lashon in the Gemara there, mishpacha shenitmo nitmo. Not that Hashem will correct it, Hashem will separate the good from the bad. Hashem says, if it'll be mixed up, and it got mixed up through items of money, tzedakah type of items, let it stay mixed up. That's how Hashem will allow it to remain. So Rabbi Nizal says, "Kamoi Shemra," as the Gemara says there, "Mishpacha Shenitmo Nitmo." V'zeh, this is what the pasuk says there. V'yeshev mitzareif umetaher kesef. Hashem will sit and purify like the purification of silver. V'zike koysam kazo v'chakesef, and he'll purify them like gold and silver. Hainu sheyitzareif v'yezake kesef v'hazov shehu shel gzeilo kanal. Kaviyochel, Hashem will purify the gold and silver, meaning the money that has this stigma of gzeilah on it, shehu bechinas mishpacha shenitmo, which is the concept of a mixed-up family. In other words, this item that the Gemara is referring to over there, the Gemara there is talking in physical terms. The Gemara says that there's going to come a time when Kaviyochel Hashem is going to straighten out the whole issue of mishpachos within Bnei Israel. The Gemara brings over there that Hashem is going to straighten out Shevet Levi is going to be the first to be purified, as is brought in the pasuk that Hashem will purify gold and silver, and Shevet Levi and all the gold and silver. So it points out Shevet Levi that they're going to be the ones who are going to have Taras HaMishpacha first. This is what the Gemara says there. The Gemara says Mishpachas that got mixed up how? The Gemara says through Kesef and Zohar, through items pertaining to Tzedakah, these Mishpachas, through items pertaining to money, these items got mixed up. And the Gemara says over there that the Pasuk ends off by saying the words V'hoyu Lashem Magishei Mincha B'Tzedakah. What does this refer to? The Gemara says that Hashem is going to perform an act of charity with these Mishpachas, in that Hashem is going to proclaim Mishpacha Shenitmo Nitmo, that a family that got mixed up should remain mixed up. That's going to be an act of charity, meaning that although we recognize that this family is mixed up in a sense, it is a Mishpacha Shenitmo Nitmo, not meaning Tamei, mixed up, Hashem is going to allow it to have a Kiyum even within this messed up state. So Rabbi Nizal now applies that Gemara to what we're saying here. When we say a family that got mixed up through money, what does it refer to? To this whole item that we presented here, that one person having a chemda for another person's money, whereby he grabs a hold, chas v'shalom, on that person's children, on that person's wife. So that family becomes a family, a mixed up, ta'aruvais, there's ta'aruvais here. And the pasuk says, v'hoyu Hashem agishei mincha b'tzedakah, that what's the tikkun for a family like this to be able to have a kiyum? The tikkun is tzedakah. Why is Rabbi Nizal saying this? Because it's important for a person to have this thought in mind when he gets tzedakah. On one hand, the person gets tzedakah b'pshitus, with the kavanah that it should accomplish whatever it can possibly accomplish. Rabbeinu Zal here is showing you one of the items that tzedakah can accomplish. Number one, in bringing about a tikkun for a person's mishpacha. Number one. And naturally, this is an item which also requires tefillah. The purpose of these teres is to make tefillah from Torah, meaning a person has to beg Hashem. If there is this, everybody has this kind of problem. There's always people in the world who have ayin hara or who have a chemda for a person's possessions. A person has to be mispal to Hashem that it shouldn't hurt him at all. Rabbi Nitzal, this teres is presenting what items could give a person an insurance. You take out an insurance policy to see to it, to be protected against harm by this item. Your insurance policy is tzedakah. A person has to daven that his giving tzedakah should be pure to the extent whereby it could accomplish this type of item. It could accomplish acting as an insurance policy to protect his family, to allow his family to have a kiyum, even if there are these types of problems. Period. Any questions now on what we had so far? Okay.
This next week, Lamai said that the person's with some and his money, he can give a lot.
A million trillion percent. And I can give you a mushal, a simple mushal that the Velt knows, which applies to this 1,000,000%. The story with the Baal Shem HaKadosh, that somebody once came to him and told him, my house, I can't live in it anymore. It's so tight and everything. He told him, you know what you do? Bring in your animals. You can, I can't take it, bring in more. There we see a case, Bigashmias, on the lowest level, how that brought about a solution to his problem. But the fact is that the Gemara says that if a person finds tzimtzum, give a little tzedakah. Because by showing that additional mesiras nefesh, like, that's what could bring about a reaction on the part of Hashem. Meaning, you have to picture it in this sense. A person, let's say there's different levels. If a person, like let's say you have, for example, these chemical labs, whereby they have these meters that register if there becomes too high a concentration of a certain item, an alarm goes off. If there's too much sulfur in the air, it causes an alarm to go off saying that it went past a certain point in a computer room. If the temperature gets past a certain point, there are alarms that go off saying that it's at the danger level. If it stays this hot for a period of time, it could cause damage to the machines, irreparable damage. You picture a person who's in a state of panasa dechik, where he's in a state of dechik, but not enough to make the alarm go off in heaven. Sometimes by taking off a little and giving it to tzedakah, that's what causes him to fall to that level whereby the alarm goes off, and they say, oh, we see the problem, here's $1,000. Not that they'll give him back the nickel that he put in tzedakah. The alarm went off saying that there's a temperature problem, that it got to the point where an alarm went off. They reinstate the whole item. That's a simple way of looking at it, but factually, the Gemara says that lamaisa, when a person sees that his parnos is bedechik, study at staka. Rebbe Zal always used to say, I heard him say this to his father many times, and I heard him say it to his own family. Whenever people came to him complaining there's a problem with parnosa, his first question is, what's the story with your maisa? How do you give your maaser? Is it on time? Are you careful to be exact? Do you take it off the top? In other words, when there was a problem with panasa, right away he checked the tzedakah. How's the tzedakah doing? These two, you know, it's a direct relation.
What does it mean that if it's going bang, you should get stuck with the tzimtzum? That means just a little bit more?
Oy vey. We're starting to check. He said if a person's parnosa is bitzimtzum, he should give tzedakah. The word tzimtzum didn't apply to tzedakah at all. Although it doesn't mean that he should throw out $1,000. Means he should give tzedakah with a kavanah. I'm giving this tzedakah because I have a problem with my parnosa, and I know that my problem will be fixed. How? By taking off a little more for my money. By showing such emunah in the fact that money comes from Hashem, you would say this sounds so illogical. If a person has a problem with money, so that he wouldn't let any money out of his hand. But a person at that point in time giving tzedakah, he shows such a spectacular emunah in the fact that the money comes from Hashem. I believe it 100%, that that's what could be misak in his matzav of parnosa.
What does it mean in that Gemara when families got mixed up because of how does Mamzerim come to the study?
Not now. We'll talk about it, Molina, there. But just, I want to finish a little bit more of what's going on here. We'll explain that item. Oh. No problem.
If a person's parnos isn't, but since how does he accomplish that? Let's say when he wants to get rid of chemda, it says you should give tzedakah. So I was talking about just getting straight stuck and not at that point of Simpson. Where we're supposed to give to a point where it should feel like a string.
No, that's a separate item. Separate items.
So it's like they're two separate things. 100%. One is when your kanas is at stake, another one is at your chemda.
Exactly. In other words, Rabbi Nezal brings a proof from that when you see a problem with money, the solution is given stuck up. This is another example of a problem. In other words, one example of a problem with money is when a person's panos is betzimtzum. Another example of a problem with money is when another person has a taiva for your money, which could affect your wife, your children. You know what the solution is? The same solution is over there. It's stucker. That's the same solution over here. It's stucker.
Say if you borrow money from someone and then they leave for different countries, and then they put to being sacrificed.
You have to notify that, you have to try to do whatever is in your power to notify that person, to remind that person that they owe you money. Rabbi Nezal talks very powerfully about not letting debts just dissipate. When a person owes you money, that person is meshuba to you, chas v'shalom. He's an eved to you, which subtracts from his avdus to Hashem. Eved leiva lishmava. You can be meichel, although that's not, in other words, that shouldn't be the norm. That's only under exceptional circumstances. In other words, these people say, if it's close friends, and if it's a very minimal amount, then kol hakavod, it's a veteran who's meichel, who says, you need a dime for the phone, it's not a loan, it's nothing. But under normal circumstances, if a loan takes place of a substantial amount of money, person has to see to it that maso matin bemuna means maso matin bemuna. It's not that I'm collecting it because I'm cheap. In other words, I don't want to forgive you the $100. It's because it's not my $100 to forgive. Hashem gave it to me. There's a manager over both of us. The money was allocated to me. I lent it to you to perform a mitzvah in the Torah of Gemilas Chesed. The same Hashem who told me to lend it from you told me to see to it to get it back from you. In other words, I can't say I'm going to be a big shot. I have to report to Hashem. You have to report to Hashem as to why you didn't give it back to me. You could say I forgot that he didn't remind me at all. There are times when the one who gave the loan has to remind the other one. You know, it's how a human being could forget at times. In the gentlest, nicest manner, I just want to remind you that I have loaned you this money. Please, when you get a chance, pay it back.
There's no such thing as interest in the Gemara. I was wondering, somebody lends somebody $5, and a week later that $5 is worth 2 cents. Does that person have to give back the same $5?
That question is discussed in the Gemara. There's a whole half of Nezikin is on that topic. The person gives somebody wine, and the price of wine shoots up to $100. Does he have to give him the value of the wine that he gave him at the time? There's whole discussions about that. That's Chashi Mishpat. Okay, next paragraph. Rabbi Nezal says, "Vezeh Shomer Azal." Generally, we say that if a person lent $5, $5 American dollars, he's got to get back $5 American dollars. If the value of American dollars goes up or down, it doesn't bother it. But there are chilukim regarding this. There are cases where you have to ask a shayla. Vezeh Shomer Azal. This is what the Gemara says in Kiddushin. A person who marries a woman for her money, the Gemara says, Chas v'shalom, he'll have children from her who won't be good children. They'll be bad regarding religion, regarding all manners. Chas v'shalom. Rabbi Nezal explains now, when a person marries a woman for the sake of money, he turns to the money aspect, husheite uksil. That person is a complete fool. Why do we use the term fool? Rabbi Nezal explains. The pasuk says in Koheles, ki leiv chacham liyaminoi, v'leiv ksil lismoiloi, that a chacham goes to the right, a fool goes to the left. Meaning, haynu shehachacham kishenoi seisha hu poine liyaminoi. A chacham, when he gets married, he turns to the right. What's the right? Meaning, haynu lahat Torah. His purpose in getting married is for the sake of Torah, shehu bechinas yamin, which is the concept of the right side. Kemo shekosov, as the pasuk says, miyaminoi eish dos lomoi. Kaviochel, from Hashem's right hand, came forth the Torah. The Torah is called Eish Dos. So we see that the Torah is referred to as an inyan of Yamin. Meaning, Rabbi Nezal explains, Hainu shenoi se isha bishvil ha-Torah. What do we mean when we say a person gets married for the sake of Torah? Kedei sheyilmoid Torah b'tahara. In order that he should be able to study Torah in purity. Kama Yisham Razal, as the Gemara says, Menachos, haloi mei Torah b'tahara. That a person who wants to study in Torah in purity, you know what the way to do it is? Get married first and then go learn. If you get married, you won't have the taiva. That taiva won't be so strong in you. So the taiva that you learn will be learned in purity. Whereas if a person sits and learns before he gets married, the Gemara says he's taking the tremendous risk of sitting and learning with that taiva being fiery. Chas v'sholom, his taiva could be chas v'sholom taiva that's shenoi v'taharo. So now Rabbi Nizal explains, so what's the concept of getting married b'kedusha? The concept of getting married b'kedusha is for the sake of Torah, for the sake of the right side, mi'aminoi eishdos. Avolev ksil ismailoi, but a fool turns to the left. Shenoi seisha b'shvil mamoin, he gets married for the sake of money. Shehu b'chinas smoil, which is a concept of the left. K'may shechosav, as the pasuk says, b'smaila oisher v'chavoid, that ashirus is a concept of the left side. Rabbi Nizal says, v'nimtzo k'shenoi se l'shem mamoin huksil. So we see that a person who marries for the sake of money, it's the opposite of Torah. It's the opposite of Chachma, which means it's foolishness. Va'oived datoi. And chas v'shalom, that person sacrifices his seichel. It causes him to lose his seichel. V'alkein havilei bonim shenam huga. Because he was pagan in his das, shemishom boim habonim. That's where the bonim come from. The bonim come from the tipei hamoyach. So now Rabbi Nizal says, a person when he's going to get married, the Gemara warns in Kiddushin that there are people who get married for the sake of money, for the sake of receiving a big natan. They're willing to sacrifice the girl, not to ignore the milas or chesroinus of the girl, for the sake of the money that's involved. And the Gemara says there that chas v'shalom, the person who does this, having a bonim who got him. The Gemara warns that when a person gets married, he should study, he's mechuyev to look at the girl, meaning he's mechuyev to check her out, to see whether she's worthy. Midas toivos, bas talmid chacham, all the requirements that the Gemara says. So now Rabbi Nizal says, so the Gemara, that's what the Gemara says there. Rabbi Nizal says, let's show you what the two channels are. A person who gets married with the right thought in mind. What is the right thought? The right thought is that one of his main reasons for getting married are to help his avodas Hashem. In what manner? If a person is avod Hashem before getting married, that's very, very little. Rav Moshe Zal call that leitayv. It's zero. It's very negligible. The avodah that a person does until he gets married has no kiyum. It doesn't have something solid to stand on. Besides which, you have to admit that avodah is avodah that's taking place simultaneously with that taiva getting stronger and stronger every day. From a certain age within a person's life, his teenage years, this taiva is nisgaber chas v'shalom, and the avodah that he does while he's rolling along with this taiva being outstanding, that avodah is an avodah pogum. That taira is a taira which is pogum, meaning it's without tahara, rachmona litzlon. And the Gemara warns that when a person studies Torah, he should learn betaro, meaning get married first, then go learn, that type of item. So Rabbi Nizal says, so a person who gets married with this intent in mind, that's a person who's leaning to the right. What's pshat to the right? The Torah comes from the right. Mimino yeshto slomoi. So that person is leaning towards the right, which is the union of chachma, seichel. A person who gets married for the sake of money is leaning towards the left. The pasuk says, b'smayloi shevechavoi. What happens when he leans towards the left? He's turning away from the right. The right was Torah. The right was Seichel. He's leaning away from Seichel, the absence of Seichel. Poigame in Seichel. That'll affect his children. Because the children come from the Tipei Hamoyach, from the Seichel. If a person is poigame in his Das, that Chas v'Shalom affects the children. And this is why the Gemara warns so much. Getting married at an early age, before 20, not like all the chachamim, the clowns today, who play games in saying that they're going to sit and learn this, that. Rebbe Zal emphasized with tremendous tkifus that he challenges any Rosh Yeshiva or Goyin or anybody to come along today and say that he can vouch for his Talmidim that between the ages of 18 and whatever suggested age these Rosh Yeshivas say, 24, 25, whatever it is, that they're going to allow this person to learn, that they can vouch that this person is not going to have Machshava Yisroel's or Hirhurim Ra'am Rachmona Litzlan, which could have been prevented by getting married, which could be playgame in the Torah that person learns, which could cause that person, Rachmona Litzlan, to have Bonim Shenim Ugonim, to have children come from, this could affect the person's whole life. The children that come from the person are affected by the Tahara that's kept during those years, during that age. And it's good to know, and I would want to testify, in other words, to state emphatically our acceptance of the fact that Rebbe Zal, there are these two tzadim, they are presented in Shulchan Aruch, and you hear them commonly throughout the Welt, that there are certain people who are of the opinion that the Shulchan Aruch does say clearly that if a person is going to learn, if Tairosei Amnosei, ba ba ba, and Rebbe Zal challenged it, saying, look me in the face and tell me that you're not going to have Hirurim. And if you're going to have one Hirur, buddy, you better watch it, because there's going to be big patch. Because then they're going to say that the Torah was pure geus, it was geus, it was gaiva, you were looking for kavoy, that kind of thing, and you weren't afraid to toy with Tikkun HaBris, which is so important an item. So in other words, a person has to know that going into Avodah, going into Torah, he better do it with the guidance of a Rebbe who's really frum, a Rebbe who knows how to differentiate between frumkeit and frumkeit, between what seems like frumkeit and what is really frumkeit. And the derech of the tzaddikim, going back to the time of the Gemara doesn't show any examples of the other way. The Gemara says there was one exception, one strange exception, and it's brought that he was punished for it in a sense, and that's Ben Azai, who said, Nashi Choshka Batayra, and there's all kinds of items that are brought, he didn't have any children, this, that, all kinds of items that are brought because of that. However, the Gemara says that the Tanoim used to boast among each other. This one said, I'm purer than you because I got married at 18. This one said, I'm purer than you, I got married at 17, 16, showing that there is an emphasis on trying to get married at an early age for the sake of having this Torah B'Kedusha, having Bonim Hagunim, having all of these items. Halavai, we should be zeicha that our study of Torah should be with Kalim, with Tikkun HaBris, and we should be zeichet to bonim hagunim, and we should be zeichet to give tzedakah b'harachova. We should never have any tzimtzum of parnosa. Each person should be able to give tzedakah to get all the guarantees that come from these etzlis that Rabbeinu Zal presents here. Mm-hmm. Now Rabbeinu Zal is still going to present much more, explaining this concept of how Taivas Momoin affects a person's brain. Rabbi Elul is going to show how it affects a Rosho and how it affects a Tzaddik, how it branches out to the right and to the left. That's going to be the last section of this Torah. Go ahead.
When someone gets married, and say he gets married for the wrong reason, for money, but the fact is he's getting married, and in other words, it could help that other problem with the Taivas. No matter why, he's getting married, factually. So you're saying the decision itself was based on a wrong thing.
100%. And the Gemara says that decision, if it's made the wrong way, hanoseisha l'shem mamoin, in other words, although it's noseisha, where his sins are forgiven, and bam, there's something that comes attached to it. Chas v'shalom bonim shenim ugonim. Because Rabbeinu Zal says that at that point in life, when a person is about to get married, there's one of two ways that he can go. Either Torah or Mamayim. And whichever one he picks, he should know v'sartem, you're turning away from the other. If you turn towards Mamayim, you're turning away from Torah, you're turning away from Seichel. By turning away from Seichel, you're being pagan in Seichel, so the children that come from you, Chas v'shalom, are coming from a Seichel pogon, which is Chas v'shalom, you know, problems.
Could you just clarify what we categorize a person having?
Okay, very, very, very clearly. In other words, there's a mitzvah of providing parnasa for a family, meaning necessities, number one, and especially money to be available to be able to be mahadir and mitzvah. In other words, a person should have cash available so that if he wants to buy an esrog, he's from those who can buy the nicest one. He wants to send his child to yeshiva, he can pick a yeshiva where the machanchim are the best, you know, etc., etc. So there are these two items. There's tzorchiyos, a person's needs, the gashmis, and there's ruchniyistika needs. Now, Rabbi Yisrael stated the rule, as stated by the Baal Shem HaKadosh, Bashamayim Imal, Valoritz Mitochas, that when it comes to gashmis, when it comes to money pertaining gashmis, a person should always be Boretz Mitochas. Look at somebody lower than you. If you see that there's somebody who has less gashmis than you, don't have a taiva for more. Don't push for more. Be satisfied, have his status. In other words, a person should train himself to live within boundaries, period. To have a his status. That's when it comes to gashmis. Bashomayim, when it comes to ruchnis mimal, if you see somebody who has a nicer esrid than you, who has better sporim, who has better midais, whatever it is, push to go to the most. That's the general rule as is listed. When we talk about taiva smalan, it's talking about the illegal taiva, meaning a taiva to broaden one's gashmias, to increase one's possessions, which the Gemara warns against. The Gemara says, Mar benachosim, mar bedaiga, that leads to atzlus. You look at people who are wealthy, and generally the wealthier they are, the more depressed they are, chas v'shem, all those things. That's the basic concept of taiva smalan. The taiva for increasing one's physical possessions with no spiritual benefit involved, no wanting to please Hashem or to give nachas to a Rebbe or that kind of item. Generally, one of the ways to purify a person's money that the Gemara says, and that Rabbein Zal says, and that the Shulchan Aruch brings, when a person goes out to work, he should try to have in mind, or to say even, I'm going to work for the sake of giving tzedakah, for the sake of giving ma'aser. That right away, in a sense, kashers the money. It makes the money kosher type money, because the purpose, one of the main objectives in going out and sacrificing 40 hours or 35 hours was to be able to give this unit to tzedakah. So that puts a stigma of kosher on this money. However, there is this concept of chemdo, taiva, a taiva for increasing one's physical standards, that kind of thing, which is illegal. And if you look in Likutei Tefillos especially, that's the place where you can see the brought out most clearly. The item that Rav Nosson Zal davens for, he says in Likutei Tefillos, Hashem, I know that there is a certain basic requirement of parnasah, of a husband bringing in money for a family, blah, blah, blah. But I know that this item goes up, there's a very fine point up to which it's kosher, and after that it's treif. What's pshat treif? That you're permitted to think about it up to a certain point. And more than that, people who sit all day and make calculations to figure out how much money I'm going to have at this, that kind of thing, that's also, that's stealing brains from Kedusha. The brains that could be applied to Torah, to his Hispeidus, that's being applied there unnecessarily, chas v'shalom, that's a mistake, and that's what he davens for. Hashem, let me be zeicha. In other words, that whatever hitzarchias I need, whatever I need to survive on, and to provide, and to do what I have to, I should be able to do it with as little tirda as possible. It should be done as quickly and easily as possible. For example, Rabbeinu Zal told Rabbeinu Zal, you should be doing cheshbonos once a week, then once a month, then that kind. In other words, a person should it should be a person's goal to be able to dedicate as little time as possible to parnasa, to gashmias, and as much time as possible. Koivea itemotera, Benazal defines the word kaveh, steal from this and allocate to that. Try to decrease your work hours, decrease the time that you spend on checking books, figure out tricks to write out as few checks as possible so that you shouldn't have to spend the hours balancing all of these kind of things. If you looked at Rebbe's, although don't have any credit cards at all, why? Time. That's tirta sapranosa, that Rebbe Zal wanted to be as free as. Have your mind that if you have to allocate CPU place, core within your brain for parnosa, 2% should be enough to handle all the parnosa things. Allowing 98% to be baharchava, just calm, not mishmash, number one, and being have it ready to be allocated to Torah, to Tefillah, to these items. And you see that generally people are not like that. People are thinking about buying a new house, a new apartment, or they're thinking about moving up in their job, or that, you know, that whole way, that's Taivas Nirachas Vishon, that's the spit, which leads them to depression. And by watching how Rabbein Zal describes it, you can look at a person and see what his, in other words, the atzvus, the this, that, that's what can tell you if it's Taivas Mamon or not. You see, Rabbi Zal, let's say, in other words, he liked a nice apartment in Eretz Yisrael, this kind of thing, the best, or ruchniistic items, tzitzis, tefillin, the best, and you see it didn't lead to any type of atzvus, it didn't lead to a tirvah, it wasn't a weight on his head. You see that he, in other words, he thought about money for a minute, and the next second he turned the switch off and it was gone. It wasn't in his head at all. When he learned, it was with a completely clear head. When he had a study of this, it was with a clear head. That's what Rabbein Zal was looking for when he talks about Taivas Mamon. How can a person judge whether he has Taivas Mamon? Question is, how easy can you release yourself from the whole topic of money, from the whole topic of gashmius? In other words, how easily can you just say, all right, I'm going for a spite of this, and it means that the world is gestorben. I can ignore what clothes I'm wearing, I can ignore my house. It doesn't bother me at all. I can spend time davening to be zeichet, to come closer to Hashem, to be able to understand Gemara better, to be able to learn more and this, that, without feeling any weight. In other words, there's no big package that I have to fight to get out of my head. It comes off easily. You know, whatever I have to do, I do. The minute I get free from it, it's gone from my head, that kind of thing. Halavai, we should be zeichet to understand this. In other words, because that's what this whole sefer and the Kotei Tefillah do. They try to give a person the seichel to know where to draw the line. In other words, how do you know? The answer is this sefer and the Kotei Halachas, those items give you an idea. And a lot of it is not written. A lot of it requires siyata d'shmaya. It's intelligence, which a person has to have on his own, to know where you draw the line. In other words, you don't walk around in tattered clothes. You know, you have to know exactly at which point to draw the line. A person has to ask Hashem for seichel for that. Okay.